What if I told you that giving money to good causes won't necessarily change your heart? Hi, I'm Rob West. Many assume that if they invest their finances in the right places, their affections will follow. But what if the real issue isn't where our money goes, but what we treasure most? We'll talk about that today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers one of the most profound insights into money and the human heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. Many interpret this to mean that if we direct our money toward good causes, such as ministries or charities, our hearts will naturally follow. And often, generosity does strengthen our connection to what we support. However, if money itself remains our treasure, even generous giving can leave our hearts tied to wealth rather than to God. What if Jesus wasn't just telling us to redirect our money, but inviting us to re-examine what we treasure most? The real challenge isn't simply choosing better causes, it's choosing a better treasure. If our hearts cling to money, even when giving it away, we remain captive. But if we treasure God above all, our money will naturally reflect that devotion. Consider Jesus' observation at the widow's offering in Mark 12. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. The wealthy gave much more than the widow, but their giving didn't free them from money's grip. Their treasure was still rooted in their wealth. Jesus exposes a similar heart issue when he rebukes the Pharisees in Matthew 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." The Pharisees gave meticulously, yet their hearts were enslaved to pride and status. Their giving wasn't born from a love for God, but from a desire to maintain religious appearances. In contrast, the widow's tiny offering flowed from deep trust and surrender to God. She gave not to be seen, but because her greatest treasure was the one standing before her. Jesus praised her, not for the amount she gave, but because her heart fully belonged to him. If giving alone could free us from money's hold, the Pharisees would have been the most spiritually free people of their day, but they weren't. True freedom comes not from giving more, but from treasuring God most. As Pastor John Piper puts it, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So if the issue isn't where we put our money, but what we treasure, how do we shift our hearts? First, recognize God as your greatest treasure. Until God is your highest joy, we will always cling to lesser things. Second, seek first his kingdom. When God's kingdom is our priority, everything else, including money, falls into place. Next, view money as a tool, not a treasure. If we treasure God, we will steward it wisely without being controlled by it. And finally, store up treasures in heaven. This means prioritizing what truly lasts, growing in Christ, loving others, and living generously. When our treasure is in God, our relationship with money changes. We give not to force our hearts to care, but because our desires are already aligned with what God cares about. We are freed from the financial anxiety because our security is in God, not wealth. If money is our treasure, our hearts will forever remain enslaved to it, no matter how generously we give. But if we treasure God, our hearts will be free and our relationship with money will reflect that reality. The real question isn't, where is my money going, but what do I treasure most? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the heart behind everything we do at FaithFi. We're here to help people not just manage money wisely, but treasure God above all else. Because when he's our greatest treasure, everything changes. If you believe in that mission, I'd like to invite you to become a FaithFi partner. With a gift of $35 a month or more, or $400 a year, you'll help more Christians find freedom in Christ through biblical financial wisdom. And as a thank you, you'll receive early access to all of our studies and devotionals, a subscription to our quarterly Faithful Steward magazine, and access to the pro version of the FaithFi app. You can learn more and become a FaithFi partner today at faithfi.com/partner. That's faithfi.com/partner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Have you ever been in a moment of desperation? Searching for help, calling out. Maybe you were stranded on the side of the road or just needed someone to talk to. It's an awful feeling to know that you're alone and there's no one near to help you. But with God, it's different. He promises to hear and respond. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God does not hide from those who seek him. In fact, he's revealed himself to the world through his son, Jesus, and he invites us to come close by faith. Even when he feels far, we can trust his word and the fact that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And you'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explores our purpose as salt and light in a darkening world. He'll address persecution, politics, and how to make a lasting impact in your sphere of influence. Join us for the series Shine the Light, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
You know, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money, because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources. The King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to go out to Kansas. John, thanks for being on the program today, sir. How can I help?
Well, we are a family of six, two boys, two girls, and we got another boy on the way due in March. We live in a 79 model mobile home, two bedrooms that we're trying to figure out how we can convert to a three bedroom. It needs a lot of work. We own the mobile home and the land through a rent-to-own deal. And we're just trying to figure out, do we fix this thing up? Do we just get it off the property and maybe get a new mobile home on here or new used mobile home maybe?
Yeah.
And we're just, I don't know, we're trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
By the way, we definitely need a three-bedroom mobile home, and we're very limited on income.
Okay. All right. Yeah, John, these are great questions, and I think you're wise to just take a step back and realize that, okay, this is a need that we have. We've got a growing family. We need more space. We've got limited funds. You don't want to get stretched too thin. We certainly don't want to take on a lot of debt that you're going to have trouble servicing. And so I think you just need to really be wise in making these decisions. And I think the first one is really just starting with that budget to say, how much can we afford, you know, for this entire housing category, including if we were to have to borrow, you know, to do some of these, you know, additions and so forth, or would we be better served, you know, just to sell what we've got if that's possible? And I assume you'd stay on the same land. Is that right? Or would you just look to relocate?
Well, we've been trying to relocate for a while. My wife and myself been feeling like the Lord's like, well, if you need to fix up or do something with what I've gave you before I bless you with something else. So
yeah,
we're not, I don't know. We're just, like I said, we're trying to figure things out. We've been trying for a couple of years to relocate, and every time we get even a close to something, it just flops.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it could be that, you know, I think clearly, you know, God does want us to be good stewards of what he's entrusted to us. I don't think that necessarily means, you know, that you need to make, you know, renovations in order to be a good steward of what you have. You know, part of stewardship is just taking care of what you have right now. And, you know, that may mean selling it to somebody else who has the resources to come in and do what's needed to fix it up and renovate it. And you guys need to move to something that doesn't, you know, have as many challenges that you can get into, that's going to serve your needs, you know, with a little bit more space, but maybe where you don't have, you know, all these projects. And so perhaps the next step is to find a real estate professional, John, who could come in and evaluate what you have right now and help you determine which are those things that really are critical to be able to maximize the value of this asset. Because that's what it is. The land and the mobile home, these are assets that are entrusted to your care. And one of the ways we maximize the value of that is by, you know, thinking about, okay, how do we position it to be sold where it's going to be attractive to somebody who's coming to look at it? And it may be that there's certain things that you can't afford to do that others may want to do themselves anyway, but there may be a few projects that it's worth doing. And, you know, it's going to remove something that might be a barrier to somebody who's coming in and evaluating it for purchase on their own. And hopefully, you know, those are even some of the things that you might be able to do yourself that are, you know, some of the simpler projects, updating some hardware or some minor repairs, things that aren't too costly but could remove an eyesore or a barrier to somebody who's coming in, you know, who's trying to picture themselves as the owner of that asset. So I think getting somebody in there to provide some wise counsel, who's a real estate professional, who can do a comparative market analysis and help you understand, you know, what are other rental homes, or excuse me, mobile homes going for in this similar locale, and then help you make those decisions on things not to do, but the things to do, to both make it habitable for you and or to sell it and move to something else. And then I think you always need to go back to that budget, because what we don't want to do is get stretched too thin. So let's start there and see what counsel you can give, and then perhaps and make a decision after that. And if I can help along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you, John. I know this isn't easy, but we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom here. Let's go to Cleveland with Jim. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. I'm calling in regards to a letter of data breach that I received from Infosys McCamish Systems. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And I'm looking for the proper steps to take to continue to be safe and secure. Can you help me out?
I sure can. You know, this is happening more and more often, and you know, it's not going anywhere. And so I think you're asking the right question, which is, how do I stay safe moving forward? Number one, I prefer not to pay for, you know, credit monitoring or identity theft protection unless it comes by way of a data breach and somebody has offered to pay for it on your behalf because, you know, they were the institution that had the breach. And so if they're offering that, once you verify that it's legitimate, you don't want to, you know, fall for a phishing scam, but you want to go to the company's website directly, make sure there was a data breach, and find out on their site what they're willing to do for you and what company they're willing to offer for credit monitoring. And if you can prove that out independently, I'd say go for it. In terms of what you need to do going forward, I think this is just a good reminder that we need to really be vigilant about using best practices. So what are those? Number one, check your credit reports regularly, at least four times a year, for information that's not yours that you don't recognize. Number two, keep your operating systems on your phone and your computer up to date so you have the latest security patches. Don't do business or log into secure websites over public Wi-Fi, like in a coffee shop. You want to update your passwords regularly and use long strings that are unique to each login, where you're not using the same password over and over again. And then finally, use two-factor authentication. That can really be helpful. You also may want to put a fraud alert on your credit report as well, and then freeze your credit at the same time. Hopefully that helps you, Jim. It's good, good reminder for all of us.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hello, I'm Steve Crampton, Assistant General Counsel for the American Family Association. The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Our vision is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Let's jump right back in. Tulsa, Oklahoma is where Tony's located. Tony, how can I help?
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. Okay. I have a question. I have a life insurance policy that I took out 20 years ago for $1 million. It's coming to an end next month. And so I've been calling around trying to find other ways because apparently it's going to increase double. The premium is going to double. And apparently it's going to like keep going up and up and up every year. And so I've called to try to find other, you know, term life insurance. And they're coming in real low, but they are going to require, you know, blood test and physical and all that other stuff. So I actually ended up going talking to the original company, which was Farmers. And the gentleman that I was talking to recommended that I go to a Farmers Index Universal Life account. And he is stating that it's a $75,000 life insurance policy, which is a flat rate. And I can add more to it, and it will index that it'll go into a fund where the money grows. And if I need to take the money out, I can. However, as long as I keep making the same payment, I will get the $75,000 life insurance policy. But I'm losing the $1 million life insurance policy pretty much no matter what I do, unless I want to spend like $2,300 a month for it.
Yeah. What is your age, Tony?
I'm 58.
Okay, and how far off, just based on what you know today, is retirement, whatever that might look like for you?
I don't think I'm going to retire, to be honest. I don't have any plans for it. I think I'm supposed to be working until the day I die. There's no plan for.
Yeah.
Being able to work. So,
well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, the purpose of life insurance is to offset the risk that exists, that if you were to pass away, you have loved ones, dependents, a spouse that's counting on that income that's now gone. And so we want to offset that risk with life insurance. And in my view, for the vast majority of people, although there are some cases where you want, you know, to have permanent insurance, you've got a lifelong dependent, you need a buy-sell agreement for a business, you know, to buy it out at your passing, something like that. But for most people, they just need the cheapest life insurance they can get with a well-respected, well-rated company, but the cheapest life insurance they can get and the proper amount of coverage to truly offset the risk during their working years. And then the goal is you never have to use it, just like every other insurance. You've got car insurance, house insurance. You're going to offset that risk, but you hope you never have to claim on it. Same with your life insurance. And then when you get to that point that you no longer need it because there's nobody depending on your income or you have other assets, you know, that would offset that risk. So you pass away and nobody's counting on that income anymore, then you drop it. And that expense comes off the table. So I think, you know, that's really what we're looking for here. And, you know, this idea of mixing life insurance with a savings vehicle, it just is not my preferred route. I'd rather you save outside of a complicated insurance policy with all of the fees and, you know, other gymnastics you have to go through, you know, that are very complicated. And, you know, you save in a retirement plan like a 401k or a Roth IRA or, you know, buying a piece of real estate, renting it out, things like that, where you have 100% of the upside and, depending on what it is, full liquidity and access to the money when you need it, and let it grow and make sure you're properly diversified, and then just buy the pure insurance, which is not really expensive, you know, so long as you're just buying it for the term in which you need it. And then we can get the actual amount of coverage that you need. But the expectation is that as soon as that term ends, we either replace it with another one or we drop it because we don't need it anymore. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. My house is paid for. Our rentals are paid for. I just have to do work on them to get them, you know, upkeep and whatnot.
And so I guess the question is there really a need right now? If you were to pass away, who is counting on your income that would go away at that point?
It would be my wife, but we're a close-knit family, so my son is taking over the business and running with it, so he will be there for support for her. But she's making well enough money to be able to be just fine.
Yeah. So I think that's the question is it really necessary? Only you can decide that. I mean, typically we want to have 10 to 12 times the income we're trying to replace. Maybe we add to that a college education if that's needed. Sounds like you're beyond that. Maybe paying off a house. You don't need that. So I think at this point, the question is really, you know, did this serve its purpose and now I can let it go and I no longer have life insurance and I'm okay with that because that's not an expense that I need right now. And I've got other assets that are going to provide for my loved ones in the event of my passing. And if so, then, you know, there's really not a purpose at this point. And let's do our investing through things that were meant to be investments like real estate and stocks and bonds and precious metals and things like that. You follow?
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Sounds like you're well planned here, my friend. If we can help you with anything else in the future, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you. Before we head to the break, this is a great time for me to remind you about the FaithFi app. You know, we built the app so that you would have a money management tool that allowed you to build your budget using the tried and true envelope system, but to do it in a simple, beautiful format. We built it for you so you could stay on budget. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can go to our website as well, faithfi.com. You'll find it there. In addition to the money management system, you'll find all of our content, broadcast archives, and the FaithFi community, which is there for you to ask questions and get responses from other stewards on the journey with you. Again, faithfi.com. Just click app. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We work, we earn, we save. But is that all there is? The book of Ecclesiastes gives us an entirely new perspective on money that impacts our day-to-day lives. FaithFi's study, Wisdom Over Wealth, unpacks life-changing biblical truths about wealth, work, and contentment. This resource will help you grow in how you handle wealth by deepening your trust in God. Request your copy of the Wisdom Over Wealth study with your gift of $35 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, to fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, all the programming here at AFR is designed to help you live out a biblical worldview in every facet of your lives. You know, what's interesting, though, and unfortunate, is the latest biblical worldview study out of Arizona Christian, led by George Barna, since the pandemic, was conducted in 2023. And the latest data says that only 4% of Americans operate from a biblical worldview. That's down from 6%, a third lower, just a few years before that, pre-pandemic. And so, you know, as we think about that, especially as it relates to money, we realize that most of us here in this country are taking our cues from the world with regard to how we handle God's resources. And the world would have us believe that money can provide that satisfaction and enjoyment and abundance and security that is hardwired into us. We know that's not true. Only God can provide those. But when we see Him as our ultimate treasure and we make money a tool to accomplish His purposes, well, it's a game changer. We want to help you do that each day as you live out of a biblical worldview in light of every part of your life, but certainly in your role as a money manager. So to Chattanooga. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I have a pretty stable budget. My question is, should I do monthly a donation to a charity, and I have been paying extra on my principal, but my question is, should I do those items before I build my emergency savings?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, you're talking about the priority use of God's resources, and there's, you know, competing priorities that we have. I mean, once we recognize our role as stewards and we begin to think about our values and our priorities, what will emerge is having that that liquidity or that emergency reserve for the unexpected. We see that affirmed in Scripture. Clearly, we're to be generous. We should be givers. We should allow a portion of what God entrusts to us to flow through us into the local church and other causes that are on the heart of God, even loving our neighbor, those who might be in a season of need. Beyond that, we want to minimize the use of debt and eliminate high-interest credit card debt and consumer debt, and even find our way toward paying off a mortgage eventually. And so we have to wrestle through the priority order of these things. First of all, I would say being a generous giver right up off the top is key. And the amount is really between you and the Lord. That's of less concern to me. What's most of interest to me is you beginning to establish that regular rhythm of giving and generosity. And I heard you reference that. And so I would say building that right in up front, it kind of calibrates your hearts to the Lord's. And I think it's that tangible demonstration of surrender and trust in Him as your provider. So I would say continue doing that, and you know, you work out the amount, in prayer with the Lord. In terms of where you go from there, what do you have in your emergency fund today?
Today I have about $3,000 in my emergency fund.
Okay, and what are you spending on a monthly basis, roughly? All your expenses.
Okay, on a monthly basis, my expenses are like $2,500.
Okay, great. So you have a little more than 1 month's expenses. That's excellent. On your way to 3 to 6 months. Did you mention you have a little bit of credit card debt, though?
I have $500 in credit card debt.
Okay. And is that just monthly expenses that you'll pay off, or are you carrying that balance month to month?
Well, I'm able to pay it off with because my monthly income is about $4,300, and my expenses monthly are about $2,500.
Okay.
So I can just pay it off.
Okay. Yeah, great. Now, where has the excess been going? Because you've got quite a bit of surplus there. I mean, about, $1,800 a month.
The excess was going to paying out credit card debt and also doing extra on my principal.
On the mortgage.
On the mortgage. Like, I'll pay 3 extra principals at one time.
Got it.
After my regular monthly. And then also a little bit for, when I a plane ticket to my grandson's graduation, just stuff like that.
That makes sense. Sure. Well, a couple of thoughts here. Number one is, since it sounds like you've reined in your spending, and whatever led to that credit card debt in the past is a thing of the past. That's good. I'd go ahead and finish off that last $500. No reason to pay the interest that you're likely paying on that $500. So let's go ahead and pay that off as step one. I would probably, if it were me, go ahead and build up that emergency fund from 1 month's worth of expenses to at least 3. And so maybe you set a goal of $7,500. And I'd probably hold off on, again, neither of these things are bad. It's just, we've got to make a choice. I'd probably hold off on additional, principal payments on the mortgage until you get up to that 3 months expenses, just so you've got something to fall back on if for some reason you had an unexpected expense come out of left field. We would rather you not have to go back into credit card debt in order to cover that. And then if you wanted to take the excess and divide it between additional emergency savings to get up to 6% and then take the other half and send it toward the mortgage, I would be completely fine with that because I love the idea of you eventually being debt free. So I think that would probably be my path forward. Focus entirely on the credit card debt and the emergency fund until you get up to 3 months, and then split the excess between the principal on the mortgage and the emergency fund until you get to 6 months.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Dean. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got a question. My wife and I and another couple got together, and we donated $12,000 to our home church with the intention that we would use this to be distributed for individuals going on mission trips. And we were focusing on kids between the ages of 8th grade and 25 going on their first mission trip. We made up other basic rules about, being a Christ follower, their local and their regular church attenders. Anyway, we made that donation, and then we, passed those kind of basic rules along to our deacons who have put it into the general fund. And then as people would come in and fill out, we had a form that they would fill out, and we would say, hey, we'd like to give $1,000 to Rob. He's going on this mission trip. So anyway, we also want to stay anonymous, and so it's we're just one, and it's become a little cumbersome because the deacons are using the rules that we kind of made up to go along to say, yeah, well, he went earlier on a mission trip, but we'd like, we want to be able to just give that money away through them. Obviously, they got it's the church's money. So,
yeah, no, it makes total sense. I've got to take a quick break. I want to hear the rest of the question. I'll give you my thoughts on the other side, Dean. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
We chase money thinking it'll bring security. We seek success, hoping it'll satisfy. But the book of Ecclesiastes exposes this truth. Lasting contentment isn't found in what we own, but in a personal relationship with wisdom himself, Jesus. FaithVi's newest study, Wisdom Over Wealth, will help you break free from empty pursuits and discover what truly lasts. Request your copy of the Wisdom Over Wealth study with your gift of $35 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
Ever met someone who said he loves Jesus but can't stand the church? Maybe you've been told that you can worship God just fine without being part of a congregation. Well, friend, if you don't see the point of the local fellowship, or maybe you've been hurt by people in a church, John MacArthur has truth you need to know on Grace to You.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial-strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, don't call in today. Our team is away from the studio, but we did line up some questions that we will get to, and I'm confident you will enjoy them. You know, we hear from so many of you that tell us that God is at work through this ministry in your life, and we're so grateful. If you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance, the easiest way to do that is for you to become a FaithFi partner. Just head to faithfi.com and click give, and as a way of encouraging you in your stewardship journey, we'll send you all kinds of resources every quarter. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. Before the break, we were talking to Dean in Michigan. Dean and a few others made a gift to their church to be used for church mission trips, essentially a designated gift where they could make more money available to those who were going on mission trips. It's essentially a restricted or designated gift. And now they're wanting to allow a little bit more flexibility on how the funds are distributed. So, Dean, pick up where you left off. And you said that, you know, funds are going out, but you'd like ultimately to be able to expand the use of that money. Is that right?
Well, it would stay within, the framework of our church membership. And also it would be just a matter of previously, we had had designated it for a mission trip that we take twice a year to Guatemala. Well, yeah. As I said before, we now have a connection with Hurricane Rescue in Tennessee. So we have a group from our church leaving in a couple of weeks that we would love to be able to donate a couple thousand dollars for their work that's going to be done down there. So it's, you know, I guess the question is, Ed, we've given the money, and this was QCD money as well. So it went into the church tax-free on our behalf as a gift. Yeah. So, you know, what restrictions should we have seen coming as far as how the church distributes that money that we've designated for missions?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you do have the ability as the donor or donors to perhaps ask the church within kind of their policies and procedures to broaden the use of the funds of the designated gift. So you'd go back to them and say, listen, we originally said it needs to be given, you know, for these types of trips, and we'd like for you to expand that. Where the problem comes in is if at any point you're trying to direct as the donor the ultimate individual that would receive the gift. So the IRS wants you to have, or for the nonprofit to maintain, a disinterested control over the funds. So the moment you begin to decide as the donor who gets the scholarships, that's going to be a problem. So although you could tweak the purposes of the funds, ultimately, you need to have other individuals, whether that's a selection committee or the finance committee of the church or some sort of scholarship committee, they need to be the ones picking the recipients, not the donors, in order to stay compliant. And so to the extent you want to be able to name individuals, that really isn't going to work.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we need to... rethink that then, obviously. All right.
I think so. And the goal would be to say, listen, we want to get more people going, you know, to Guatemala, and we're going to trust the church is going to make that decision on who and how much receives that. Or even you help to set the parameters on how much per individual. But, you know, the moment you begin to name the people that are ultimately going to get the checks, the IRS is going to have a problem with that. So, yeah, I think you need to perhaps rethink just kind of what are we ultimately trying to accomplish here. And if it's getting more people, you know, on the mission field, that's great. But from that point forward, we're going to have to let the church make the call. I hope that helps, though, Dean. We appreciate your call, and I appreciate you trying to get more people involved in missions. That's amazing. To Florida. Hi, Phyllis. How can I help?
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I hope you can hear me okay.
I sure can.
I just got a question about annuities. It's funny because every time I come home from work, I listen to you constantly.
and thank you
so much for being on the air. And, you know, you're always saying annuities. And then I come home and I tell my husband, he's like, no. So we talked to somebody yesterday and they talked to us about an annuity. I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but it's locked into some kind of... I guess it's called Athena, and it's locked into some kind of like care that if you need it for long-term care type insurance type thing. We sounded really interested in that, and I just didn't know a whole lot about it. And I just wondered, you know, being in our early 60s, is it too late? And maybe is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? Help me out.
Yeah, very good. Well, let me just back up and clarify a little bit. I mean, we do talk about annuities a lot here, mainly because we get a lot of questions about them. But I'm pretty consistent in saying, although I'm not someone who says avoid annuities at all costs, I'm also quick to say they're really not my favorite tool. And I generally don't recommend them for most people because even though they have their place, they tend to have high fees. They limit your liquidity, meaning once you commit the money, it's hard to get it out early, which just limits your options. They're complex. So they're, you know, lots of fine print, and, you know, they are tied to what are called subaccounts that fluctuate depending on the type of annuity. And, you know, the fine print is often, you know, not understood fully by the annuitant. And, you know, there's a loss of control. There's even inflation risk because the annuity may not keep up with the rising costs over time. Now, where they have a place is for somebody who says, I just want to transfer the risk away from the market, the stock market, to an insurance company. I'm risk averse. These certainly do fit that bill.
And you can get some tax deferred growth and then ultimately some guaranteed income. But again, these are not my first choice. Now, what you're talking about essentially is a combination of an annuity that has long-term care features. And I think long-term care is something to think about where, you know, you are able to consider that your biggest risk in this season of life is just the dramatic rising costs of long-term care. And we know that 70% of Americans 65 and older will need long-term care for some amount of time, usually 2 to 3 years. And it can run $10,000 a month if you need nursing care. And that's today's prices. It's only going up from here. And so essentially, an annuity product with a rider for long-term care would kick in if you need long-term care and you can't perform what they call the daily activities, daily living activities, or you suffer a cognitive issue. And then that rider could take the normal income that the annuity was providing and double your income payments or provide a higher withdrawal amount. I don't know about that particular one you mentioned, but if you are interested in the various options for long-term care, I would visit with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Florida to look at all of your options, because you may be better off buying a straight long-term care insurance policy. You could look at a whole life policy with a long-term care option, or you could look at an annuity with a long-term care option. And depending on your situation, one may be better than another. So I know that's a lot of information, Phyllis, but is that helpful at all?
Right. Yeah, it is. I would like to kind of research that a little bit more. I mean, both of us are really healthy. His mom is 87, and she's in an independent living. So, and she's got the money to be able to pay for that herself, but I don't think that could ever happen for us. And, you know, you never know. I just want to be prepared. So
yeah, no, I certainly get that. And I think that's wise to be thinking that way, Phyllis. And to your point, I mean, you've got longevity on your side, you're in good health, you know, you may decide you want to essentially self-insure. But, you know, obviously the extent to which you want to offset that risk and you've got the cash flow to do it, you know, it may be worth looking at a long-term care insurance policy. They are expensive, and you know, you've got to be able to not only absorb the premium today, but you've got to be able to absorb the future premium increases, which has been a consistent theme with these policies. So I think that's why you need to do this in the context of some really well thought out, comprehensive financial planning. And then perhaps that financial planner could bring in a long-term care insurance agent who really specializes in that area. So here's what I'd recommend. Go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Florida, and just ask about some planning around how you will pay for long-term care insurance should you need it down the road. And be sure to check back with us if you have further questions. May the Lord bless you. Let's see. We're going to go to Illinois. Kathleen, you're next up on the program. Go ahead.
Thanks for your program. I have a stock in my portfolio that is like, it's like I have like a between 40% and 47% loss, and it's got an F rating, and it's a large part of my portfolio. So it's like holding it is not a good idea. I want to sell it, but I want to know what to do with it after I do that. I have it in Schwab, so I don't know if there's like a fund that I could put it in that is better. I don't know, because I've got a lot sitting in there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Kathleen, let me just affirm what you're saying. And that is, you know, regardless of how that stock is done, and I understand it's done very poorly, you have what's called a highly concentrated position. And that's not advisable, because we're taking an inordinate amount of risk. We have too much riding on one company. And so I like the fact that you're thinking about repositioning your portfolio. But in doing so, you really need some wise counsel in that, because first of all, you want to make sure you take full tax advantage of the loss. And then secondly, you want to think about where is the best place for you to be invested moving forward based on your goals and objectives and risk tolerance and age and income needs. And I think that's really where an advisor will shine. Unfortunately, I can't give you those specific recommendations over the radio.
We don't do that, but I wouldn't want to even if I could, because I don't know all the other pieces of your financial life, and that's where an advisor will come in. So I'm going to encourage you to check with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Illinois who can look at your overall situation and then perhaps actually help you manage that money. You could find a CKA on our website at faithfi.com. Thanks for your call today, Kathleen. Let me say thanks. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin and everybody here at FaithFi. Certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.